for this morning will be Yancic against Hannah Steele. Mr. Cohn.
May it please the Court. This is a case about summary judgment and whether there is enough evidence before the trial court that the motion for summary judgment should have been denied. And the case gone on in due course toward trial. The facts are set forth. The amount of time that we have is so limited. I really just want to invite questions.
Okay, so on November 10th, you submitted a response within the page limit suggesting the additional pages weren't necessary. If all the exhibits were ready, why didn't you just submit a response that would meet the deadline, that would comply?
Trial counsel tried to assist with the problems with this electronic filing. If you attach those exhibits, their numbering is going to be off because the pleading that's attached will have a number, and then all the exhibits numbers goes after that.
But that's a very risky strategy. It seems to me, unless you had evidence that the district court had excused a late filing for that kind of reason in the past, you just file it with whatever numbering you have and then seek to correct the numbering afterwards. It just seems like a very weak excuse to me.
Or you could say, when you're filing it, we haven't had a chance to renumber. I mean, you don't even have to wait. Just say it in the filing. We didn't have a chance to renumber. We wanted to meet the deadline. We'll resubmit tomorrow with the corrected number.
Your Honor, in retrospect, there were many things that should have been done. I agree. The trial counsel, following a practice that had been going on in the same court with Judge Mim, just followed that practice.
But he wasn't in Judge Mim's courtroom.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's correct. And, as I said, in retrospect, there are many things that should have been done. Our argument is that the material that was submitted by the defendant is enough by itself, that we didn't need for the purposes of this appeal, that we don't need to take a look at any of the evidence, which you don't have, that was submitted with the response.
So let me ask you a question about that, because the district court came to the conclusion that nothing but speculation would support the inference that the coil was dropped on Mr. Yancic intentionally for some racially based reason. And I'd like your view on what you think raises an issue of fact about that.
The entire picture. The district court just took a look at that one act.
Well, what's in the entire picture? We have in the entire picture, occasionally, a stare down, the black power fist on one occasion, the fact that Mr. Johnson occasionally refers to himself using an epithet. I don't know. Seems.
Your Honor, if you're only looking at Mr. Yancic and what he experienced, that's a fair assessment. But you have to look at the entire picture of what everybody was experiencing. This was all one, and not just an isolated situation.
But Mr. Johnson is not a supervisor. He's a co-worker. He's actually one of a very, very small number of African Americans at that workplace. And apparently he's kind of obnoxious to everybody. But to get to the point where the 940-pound steel coil is intentionally dropped by Mr. Johnson on Mr. Yancic is a pretty big leap.
Well, there's no question. There was no reason for him to have manipulated any of those knobs.
But carelessness is the...
Well, carelessness, if you have a reason to go to knob A and you went to knob B, that's carelessness. Here there was no reason to go to any knob whatsoever. There was nothing to be done at that point. Moreover, you had to hold that knob as against pressure for 7 seconds. And there was no purpose in it. And from the standpoint of carelessness, there's no purpose to touch any of the knobs.
But where's the racial element there?
The racial element is in the entire picture of what this man's relationships were with all of the employees.
But you don't have anything specific where it's targeted to Jancic. See, that's the problem. I understand you say there's this sort of general atmosphere, but somewhere you've got to tie it up.
Well, but
the
general atmosphere was his animus toward whites.
And what notice would the employer have had?
The employer clearly, we have that discussion about the affidavit, where the employer's lawyer knew about the accusation of racial judgment process, though. I'm sorry, Your Honor?
This is during the summary judgment process, well after the incident. The lawyer's involvement.
This was before the Jancic accident, you want to call it, the incident involving Jancic. There was an affidavit that Jamil gave to the lawyer for the company, corporate counsel, and said that this man, Mr. Johnson, is racially biased. The lawyer took it out of the affidavit.
Even with that, then the employer shouldn't let this Johnson around any of the machinery because he might take intentionally harm someone with it?
He should take some precautions when you have someone like that in the employment where you don't know what he's going to do. This is now a negligence standard when it's another employee who is acting up, not a supervisor, but an employee, and the employer has the duty to exercise some due care for the protection of the other employees. What that would be, I don't know now, but something that they should have done, and they did nothing. There were at least two occasions in which important officials knew about all of this. One was the plant manager who called in Mr. Andrews and after Andrews was making these complaints. And the plant manager said, you can pursue your complaint, but you may lose your job if you do. And Andrew said, I don't want to lose my job. So shut up. And the other was the
corporate counsel. This isn't a retaliation case.
Sorry, Your Honor?
This is not a retaliation case.
No, this is not a retaliation case. No, Your Honor. And the other situation was where corporate counsel was told that by Jamil that I want this in the affidavit. And the draft of the affidavit had it in it. And corporate counsel said, I am removing this from your affidavit.
So you have a minute left but we can give him. Do you have any more follow-up?
I don't.
Okay.
We'll give you your minute. Mr. Sherman.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is James Sherman, counsel for Appellee. I do want to clear up that issue about the corporate counsel thing. That was an affidavit that was being done with an attorney from my office and this Jamil Novoa. That was in July of 2009, nearly almost 4 years after Mr. Jancic's injury and when he had never worked for my client, Hannah Steele, again. on the knowledge
so
issue.
So do you dispute that one of your lawyers called Jamil and said that his statement about Johnson making derogatory comments about Mexicans would be removed from the affidavit?
I don't know the particulars of that. Someone else was working with him on that, but it was in the course of preparing an affidavit, doing a draft, working with him, and apparently from his testimony, which I was at his deposition, apparently his testimony was he wanted to include that in an affidavit, and it was not included.
You don't know why it was dropped? That's what you're saying?
I don't, Judge, but I don't think it's anything more. And Mr. Novoa, Jamil Novoa, was deposed as well on all of that, and he did in his deposition indicate that everything in that affidavit was accurate and true, and he was deposed by counsel, and everything that he had to testify about, he testified about.
And so he, in his deposition, made reference to these statements about the derogatory comments about Mexicans. Did that come out then in his deposition?
Yes, it did. It was fully explored by both counsel, and I would note that many of the statements that he talked about happened at a gym outside the workplace.
And then I have one other question now related to why did Hannah Steele ever investigate these complaints about Johnson that were made by other workers?
Well, that goes to the knowledge question, I think, Judge, and I don't think that Hannah Steele truly ever had knowledge of any of these kinds of complaints. There's an issue of an individual, Mike Duncan, who was held the title of supervisor second shift slit line. He was not a supervisor for under the law. There's the one instance, other than the instance of the lawyer, which is all about 4 years after the events, there's an instance about a Larry Andrews who talks about a meeting where Sergio Becerra, who was the plant manager, was present. If you go through the transcript of Mr. Andrews' deposition, which is at docket number 24-1, pages 1 through 24, he testified about Mr. Johnson teasing him about his teeth. He testified about Mr. Johnson disconnecting a safety buzzer on a machine because he didn't like the buzz. He testified about a third incident where Mr. Johnson walked in his path, essentially to make him walk around him. And then a fourth incident where he said he showed this black power fist, the Black Panther fist, as he described it. He testified that he did not raise or ever raise the issue of the one thing that could possibly be interpreted as racial in any meetings. So essentially, this meeting with Mr. Becerra, by Mr. Andrews' own testimony, involved cross beefs between two workers where there was no racial element that could be perceived by anybody.
But there's something that troubles me about your theory here. I know that your harassment policy specifies the general manager or the human resources director, but normally in companies, if somebody reports to a person who is in an immediate position of authority of some kind, whether you call it a supervisor with a capital S or not, there is an obligation to report up the chain. So if Mr. Duncan is learning about harassment on the floor, are you telling us that Hannah Steele absolves Mr. Duncan of responsibility to report it up?
No, I'm not saying that. And clearly, under the circumstances of this case, had all of these instances occurred, it would have been the right thing to do for Mr. Duncan to report these issues up.
So why isn't it enough for Mr. Yancic to complain to Mr. Duncan then? I mean, that's the natural chain that people follow. They don't call some 800 number in, you know, another state.
Well, Judge, he was trained on a procedure for reporting. However, he did go to Mr. Duncan, but Mr. Yancic's own testimony was that he did not raise any racial elements to any of these issues with Brad Johnson. In fact, he testified that these things that were going on between he and Johnson were, as he called it, the alpha dog thing. He testified, he reported to the safety director that he thought Brad Johnson was on steroids and he had seen a change in him where he'd had a good relationship for nearly 7 months and it was going bad and he saw these aggressive tendencies. So it would be an awful tough thing for somebody to pick up a racial element to these things. But clearly, in a perfect world, it would have been nice to see things flow and go somewhere. But I still maintain that the facts don't demonstrate knowledge of race-based animus, as is alleged. If I may address just very briefly the abuse of discretion standard in the lower court's ruling, just to make clear, I know that the motion which was denied, that's the subject of this appeal, was characterized as a motion for leave to exceed page limitations. But a review of the proffered brief that was submitted by counsel, particularly at note 8 of that brief, docket number 29, page 1, page 36, says that counsel is still searching for these declarations that were the basis for the original motion for the extension, and that he's going to try and get them executed and submitted later. So I think there was another purpose to that. It's not my conclusion to make, but I think that may have been part of the totality of the circumstances that the lower court was addressing and saw the motion as suspicious. There are no more questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Cohen?
Mention was made of Bill Duncan, the supervisor, when the question of Mr. Johnson being a racist came before him. He said to, and this is on page 27 of our main brief, he said, I think you're right, he's a racist. And to Yancic, he said, Brad is the biggest racist I have seen in my life. So it's no question of notice.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.